From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made in the year 2022 when the Buffalo Bills' lease runs out on their current stadium. Sometime over the next 6 years, the team will have to decide whether to build a new stadium or stay put, maybe renovate once again. Well, it's clear what the league wants, but it is less clear what taxpayers want. The league wants a new stadium. Roger Goodell recently called it a need. 2 years ago, there were rumblings that the franchise would be in danger if the Bills didn't commit to a brand new ballpark with more luxury seating and more potential revenue to split for other billionaire owners. But taxpayers already paid $130 million for renovations in recent years at the Ralph. It's not the most glamorous stadium in football, but the renovations have helped. And let's be clear, if league owners wanted a new stadium, they could split the cost among the 30 other franchises. They could cover it without too much headache, but that's not usually what happens. Instead, taxpayers are likely going to be asked to step in. Is it worth it? Is there a return on investment? Is this one of those community assets that is worth funding even if there is not a return on investment? Our panel is here to discuss it, along with your phone calls, which will be welcome this hour. Let me welcome my guests. Toby Motika is here, an anchor and reporter for 13WAM Sports. Toby, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Chuck Wade's here. He's a sports anchor in a past life, and now he's a vice president and financial advisor with Brighton Securities, so we get the sports and the money side from Chuck. Welcome, Chuck.
Thank you, sir.
Also here, James Brown, a longtime Bills fan. James, welcome to you.
Thanks, sir.
And Lindsay Nabosny, also a long-suffering Bills fan, Lindsay.
True. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you guys, and I guess I want to start with this. Toby, you know, you're the one who's covering sports most closely these days.
Yeah.
Does this team have to have a stadium by 2022? I mean, is Goodell sort of sending a code? Does this have to happen for the team to be
When the commissioner speaks, you have to listen. I mean, even Terry Pegula has said, I think just a few weeks ago on WGR, he said out loud, yeah, you know, maybe he's sending us a little bit of a message that this is something he's going to want. But Terry Pegula is in no rush to make a decision on whether or not they want to build a new stadium, where it would be. There's so many steps that need to happen. You have to figure behind closed doors. There's a lot of talking going on all the time about this sort of thing. But I think right now, like you said, the lease is up in 6 years. They've got a little bit of time to figure it out.
Okay. And when it comes to moving the franchise, it was a much different situation a couple of years ago when Donald Trump and John Bon Jovi were in a cage match over who might own this team, and the Pegulas emerged. And then the question was, you know, is this going to be a stabilizing force? Will the franchise stay here? What would it take, Toby, to actually move this franchise? Because now you have stable ownership here.
Move the franchise? I still don't think they're going anywhere. I even if the Bills decided and Terry Pegula decided, no, we're good where we are, let's just renovate it one more time, or even let's just build a place next door. I just don't think they're going anywhere. It was sort of a promise made by the Pegulas. He's Mr. Buffalo right now. He's invested so much money in that city himself that I don't think he wants to see what's now his product go somewhere else. So I think they'd be hard-pressed to force a move on the NFL's part, and I don't think Terry Pegula wants them to go anywhere.
And I don't think that he could do it and own the Bills and the Sabres, because I believe the NFL has a rule that their owners aren't allowed to own another franchise in a different sport unless it's in the same city. So right now he's good because he owns the Sabres too, but if he was to move the Bills to Oakland or Los Angeles, he would either have to get rid of the Sabres or the Bills.
And it would be profitable if he wanted to move them to some giant market get rid of the Sabres, to sell them.
If we're talking only money, Terry Pegula could sell the Sabres, move the Bills, and probably make more money.
Correct.
I should say Terry and Kim. They own the franchises. But Chuck, on the money side of things, to you, how do you start, you know, analyzing the question of a return on investment when we're talking about stadiums? Now, stadiums have a wide range of costs. $500 million to 1.3 is what I've seen since about 2004 in various sports. How do you even start asking that question of what's worth it?
Well, I don't necessarily think the question, you know, the NFL, here's why the NFL cares, and you had a good point. There have been 18 new stadiums since 2005, you know, in the various sports world. The NFL has what's called revenue sharing, and it's divided equally between all the teams. They take the $7.2 billion that was made last year, and each team got $226 million. The Dallas Cowboys make more money than the Buffalo Bills. The Washington Redskins make more money than the Buffalo Bills. So why do these owners want the Bills to have a new stadium? Because that revenue sharing comes from three places: TV, gate sales, and merchandise. Now, the TV contract is negotiated as one. Gate sales is going to include, you know, the tickets that any one of us would buy. Toby's not paying to get into the games. tickets that we'd buy, tickets that Fortune 500 companies, suites that Fortune 500 companies and major corporations are buying and sponsoring. And that's the big one after TV sales is after the TV deal is the gate sales and the Bills. They just don't. They have one of the lowest priced tickets in the NFL. So by virtue of that and the revenue sharing ladder, they're much closer to the bottom. You open up and have suites and personal seat licenses, things like that. The NFL wants the Bills to contribute more of that revenue sharing.
Well, hold on. Before I bring James and Lindsay in as for a fan perspective. And are you a fan, by the way, Chuck?
I like the Bills. Yeah. I like the Bills. I watch them every Sunday.
Okay.
Usually till halftime, and then I go do something else.
No, hey, this could be the year. But Chuck, you mentioned Fortune 500 companies, sure. Suites, et cetera. And I was reading in various sources on this very question here. The question of Fortune 500 companies, because that helps. If you've got Fortune 500 companies in town, it's easier to assume that if you build a new stadium, you can sell more luxury suites, et cetera. Look what Dallas did. For an upfront fee of up to $150,000 per single seat, fans get an exclusive long-term license that allows them to buy season tickets each year for thousands of dollars more. The license can be sold on the open market, according to Newsweek. And if the owner is ever squeezed for cash or sours on the Cowboys, they could try to kick the tickets on the open market. But that's a lot of money. That's Dallas. Then you want to talk luxury suites in Dallas? $500,000 a year.
Sure.
But even Dallas, of course, has plenty of big companies. Minneapolis, which got a new baseball stadium after about a decade of negotiating, they have 28 Fortune 500 companies. Buffalo really doesn't have any. So
no, they have none. They're one of two in the NFL with none. Baltimore is the other one, but
Baltimore,
Buffalo has none.
Baltimore?
There's two in the NFL that don't have. Yeah, it's interesting, but Baltimore is a different city too, which is a different city. It's a different market. It's a bigger city.
So you've got goose egg on Fortune 500. Right. How can you build a new stadium and say, well, we're magically going to have more luxury revenue?
Sure. They're not. I mean, and this is the point I think that's most important to make, is a stadium the Bills would have is going to be different than a stadium that a lot of the other NFL teams would have just by virtue of the fact that there's not as much money in Western New York to be spent on those things. And there's places that will, but naming rights would play into it, too. A new stadium is probably not going to be Ralph Wilson Stadium. It would probably have a corporate sponsor associated with it. Because, again, you're talking about, you know, some real money over a long-term period of time. That's what the NFL wants.
And keep something in mind, too, with talking about Fortune 500 companies coming in and buying all these suites. You're talking about raising general ticket prices, too. There's already mumblings every time you start hearing about, are the Bills going to raise ticket prices this year? Are they going to go up? People are really angry. They say we can't afford, if you raise ticket prices too much, to go to these games, so you have to worry about pricing out just your everyday average fan who wants to go to a normal seat.
Yeah, so Lindsay and James, then, you go to games? Do you go to games?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
How many a year?
Usually one.
So you're not a season ticket holder?
Not a season ticket holder.
Season ticket holder?
I'm not a season ticket holder either, but my father is.
Okay.
And they're actually, you know, I used to live in New York City, and they're pretty reasonable in comparison to other, you know, cities for that reason. It's an attainable thing, and it's great about Buffalo that people can go to games and be involved. And
okay, so now you heard the debate 2 years ago when ownership, the question was up, is there going to be an ultimatum on a stadium? It's not an ultimatum right now. In fact, the Buffalo News wrote a piece praising the Pegulas and Russ Brandon for essentially telling Roger Goodell, we'll do this on our own schedule. We know what you want. It may not be right now. We'll do this on our own schedule. Ultimately, we'll see in 2020, 2022. But do you draw a line somewhere, Lindsay, or do you say, look, as a taxpayer, I'm willing to step in, even if we don't think there's an ROI, because that's a community asset that once it's gone, we know the NFL is not coming back to Buffalo. You know, Oakland may be getting somebody back. Obviously, LA get one team. They could get two. Buffalo's not going to get a franchise back if it leaves. What do you say as a taxpayer and as a fan is where that line should be?
I think as a taxpayer and a fan, you cannot let the NFL hold us hostage to that. I think that that's not a good use of taxpayer money. If we're having a new stadium be built and it's using that money just to price the taxpayers out of actually going to those games, I think it's a terrible idea. So I'm opposed.
Even if it comes down to the league saying, if you won't go with this, we will take the, you know, or Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula or whatever the situation is, the franchise is leaving. If there's no new stadium that's largely financed by taxpayers, you say
it would
goodbye?
Be incredibly painful, very, very painful. But yes, I think you have to. And I think, you know, I don't think they're actually going anywhere. I think the Pegulas are in it. enough, and with the Sabres and everything, there's just not a chance. But yeah, I feel strongly.
Okay, James?
I don't think we're going anywhere. The Buffalo Bills are going anywhere. But what I would like to say is I think there is a third way that is pretty obvious, where the taxpayers put up some of the money, but not all of the money. I think the league has a program that I'm aware of that where the team can take out, I believe it's $100 million from the league. The Pegulas are among the richest owners in pro sports, period. They could certainly put up a chunk of it themselves, and maybe the taxpayers could beat them halfway, because honestly, it's for most of my life, it's been my greatest nightmare to see the Bills play in L.A., and I don't want to get to that point.
So you think that that's where they're going if they're not here?
Not necessarily L.A. Toronto's been mentioned in the past. I think that's doubtful.
I think you're safe. I think you don't have to worry anything about the Bills going anywhere. I think the big question is going to be how much money the Pegulas end up having to put up for this stadium more than anything. And I think a reason that taxpayers may end up being a little more willing is just because they've seen so much return on investment from everything Terry Pegula's done, especially in the Harbor area. It's not just take money, take money, take money. Okay, where are we going here? He's basically rebuilt that section of the city.
Sure.
Partially through taxpayer money, partially through grants, and partially through his own. So they're seeing that he is invested in the city. And I think people, while they aren't jumping at the bit to be like, all right, take my money and build this stadium, they want to see him put up a fair amount to hopefully most. I think they're a little more willing to bend over and really just give him some sort of tax incentive on this thing and help him out.
And I am not at all advocating that taxpayers in Western New York should say whatever it costs, keep it. But I am comfortable, and I didn't see anybody disagreeing with this notion that if the Bills leave, they're not coming back, right?
Right.
So Chuck Wade, you just got made NFL commissioner for one day.
Sure.
And your job is to start a brand new league. All the teams are gone. You're starting from scratch. I mean, what number on the – how many teams would there have to be in the league before Buffalo got a city?
At this point, probably 50 or 60.
Right. Yeah,
50 and they're not 60? Going to. Yeah, I mean,
you were going to say 100, James?
No.
You think I was too low?
I think we're looking at maybe 25.
No. Wait, James, you're saying that if we start from scratch and nobody's got, we're creating a new NFL, the Bills would be one of 30, 31 teams.
I think it would be one of 32 teams.
Whoa!
I think he's right on. I would 45 or 50.
I just don't think so, because if you're starting from scratch and you're saying who's coming to the table, I mean, the Pegulas are their own entity, but you're going to have money. The reason there's not more teams elsewhere in the NFL is because they take their time starting new franchises.
You wouldn't put the Bills ahead of, say, Jacksonville?
I don't think Jacksonville would be there either.
Right. Las Vegas would be ahead of those.
Las Vegas, LA would have two. How many would be in the New York City area?
Portland would be ahead of a place like Buffalo.
You know, there's
point,
just a lot of other areas that would like to have a team, and that
Cleveland would get a real team. A real
no, they still wouldn't get a real team. You know, there's a lot of places that would like to get an NFL team. They can't right now, and they're also looking at it from a perspective: we haven't had a team. We'll do anything to get one.
I'm not sure that's true. I mean, Las Vegas is definitely right. You could argue that second in LA. But other than that, I mean, we're pretty much tapped out of other places to go.
We're talking starting from scratch, though.
Starting from scratch.
You know,
yeah,
I just don't think you're making the top 30 cut. You know,
I mean, look,
I'd love
the
to
size
think
of,
that you would.
Of media markets. Mm-hmm. Where's Buffalo? I don't know.
54 somewhere in there.
50s?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just from a size of a media market, which typically means size of the metropolitan area.
So would you kick out Green Bay, too?
The list. Green Bay is a publicly owned company. It's a different entity.
Yeah, but we're starting from scratch.
No, I don't
we
know.
Kick them out?
Maybe.
Well, and maybe if you didn't get that model, because every time we talk, should taxpayers support the Buffalo Bills more, we get a lot of backlash from our listeners, and inevitably somebody says, can't we just be the next Green Bay? And my understanding is that it's the rules are sort of set
change
up against that.
Yeah.
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 And
you
we're
won't see
talking
that again.
About kicking a team out. It's if I'm the commissioner, where am I going? I'm going to the places that have money and corporations, and Buffalo's just not that place. And I love Western New York. I grew up here. I really enjoy the Bills. I just don't think it's that place.
That's when you start getting into regions.
They're
right?
So lucky to have the Bills still be here, and that's because they've had two owners that have been willing to pretty much bend over backwards to keep them here. And to the taxpayer issue, I frankly think taxpayers should pay for some of it.
Right.
the Pegulas have shown they're willing to put their money down. He said the day he bought the Sabres, I remember the press conference, and someone said, do you worry about money? And he said, well, if I need more money, I'll just go put another hole in the ground. You know, he can make money. I don't think he's doing this for the money.
You're talking about fracking, right?
That's exactly what I mean. He said he goes, I'll drill another hole in the ground. That's what Pegula said. So I don't think they'd be unwilling to commit money, but at the same time, too, if I'm looking at it from their perspective, I'd say, yeah, I'd like to see the taxpayers help us somewhat.
Hold on 1 second. Chuck used an interesting word just now, and that's should. Let me remind you, we're talking about this hour about the Buffalo Bills' future in Western New York and taxpayers' relationship to that franchise. In other words, how much do taxpayers have to put forward to keep this team? And for you as a taxpayer, what's worth it to you? You can call the program. We'd love to hear from you. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Chuck said, should. You said you think taxpayers should come up with some.
Some of it. I think it's a reasonable expectation that taxpayers would kick in some money here.
Okay, why?
What does Buffalo look like without the Bills? It was a Sunday on Western New York.
I think Buffalo is sort of the city on the rise.
I think it is. Sure. What is a Sunday and the economic impact of the Bills? When the Bills are good, there have been countless studies that have shown the impact it has, not only on the economy, but just on the mental attitude that people have in Buffalo. And you've seen it in just about every other city, with the exception of Jerry Jones in Dallas, and he's his own fella. But I do think the fans, it's a reasonable expectation that they should pay some of it. All of it, absolutely not. But some of it, yeah.
Okay, Lindsay?
Well, I was just going to say, I've read studies that the financial outlay that does come from this, though, mm-hmm. while there is a positive economic impact, it's not really equitable.
Okay.
You know, you're not getting enough back, you know, financially to the city. And Buffalo is a place that, you know, it's on the upswing, but it needs good jobs. And, you know, the jobs that are created by stadiums a lot of times are lower wage, you know, part of the season. You are only using for certain parts of the year. I really, really don't want to see the Bills go, but I just don't think that the impact will be positive on the city of Buffalo as a whole. You know, a stadium is not a public good. It's not infrastructure. It's not how taxpayers should be spending their money. It doesn't benefit everybody.
And what Chuck seems to be saying is that there's two benefits. That there is a long-term financial benefit. You know, what does the city look like? What are people doing? Where are people spending their money? But there's also sort of a not very measurable but somehow real goodwill thing, which we just saw in Cleveland. The city of Cleveland had a collective nervous breakdown, and then and then just a party that is still actually going on. It's still happening. But
you're part of that, aren't you?
And the stadiums,
but it's hard to measure that.
And the stadiums that are being built today, too. You see very few stadiums that are built with one use, with a single. Now in Buffalo, if you're getting into multi-use concerts, I mean, look where the Q in Cleveland's hosting the Republican convention.
Does Ralph do other stuff? I actually don't know.
Yeah, they have concerts and things like that.
But not a lot.
Because of the geography, a dome probably makes it more useful for other things. I mean, they always have the Combine in Indianapolis. They have major events at a lot of these sports stadiums that are made for multi-use. And that I can't believe that would not be something that would factor
into it. And the Pegulas, of course, built the Harbor Center, and they hosted the NFL draft. I mean, they have shown an ability to draw in big events. Now, the NFL's a totally different ballgame. But on the note of the taxpayers, I think how much money they should front depends on what is being proposed and how many uses a facility like this is going to have. An NFL facility used 8 times a year. The other 355 days, it's a giant parking lot on your waterfront. You're probably going to want a retractable roof because a dome you don't want to be in the summer, and outdoors no one's going to want to use it in the winter. So you're going to need something like that, and that's been what's been discussed, but that's going to jack up the price a whole lot. So I think there's going to be a lot of give and take from both sides. You want us to pay for it, then give us what we want and what we need and make this an asset to the community other than just a place for 70,000 people, a lot of them really, really drunk, to go and scream on Sundays for 3.5 hours. That's also not necessarily the type that you always want pouring out into your streets downtown for 2 hours after the game. It's a toss-up.
All right, before I go back to the phones, James, you want to add anything there? I saw you kind of wincing at a couple of those points. Go ahead.
Well, I think I'm agreeing with him in that I think the retractable roof in the Indianapolis model is the one that you should be following. It's opened up Indianapolis to numerous events having a roof, and it would be, honestly be it could possibly bring a Final Four to Buffalo.
Is that RCA? Is that Indianapolis?
That was originally the RCA. I think it's Lucas Oil.
Lucas Oil. Hey, Megan Mack, producer, can you do me a favor? Google this because I don't have it right at my fingertips, but I thought the Lucas Oil Stadium, when it was RCA, when it was built, I thought they got more taxpayer support than most others. I don't recall, though. But I would wonder why that is, especially if you get a retractable roof. It's a big ticket item. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
Indianapolis is a small market. We're talking, if we're looking top 50, I don't think they're
in the 20s.
Is it in 20s?
Shockingly,
really?
I think it's like 29, 30, somewhere in that range. It is a bigger market than Buffalo, partially because Buffalo, by no fault of its own, you've got Rochester to the east, a giant lake to the north. So you have a lot of your viewing area taken up by fish. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just not much you can do from Rochester's market 76, partially because of that, too. Mm-hmm. So that takes away from it. Whereas Indianapolis, what other market is there?
There's
in
nothing.
Indiana? You're covering that massive portion of that state, kind of like Scranton-Wilkes-Barre in Pennsylvania is market 46. And it's a city maybe half the size of Rochester, but it's almost twice as big in market size. So it just has so much more ground to cover, and that's where it comes from.
But are we talking about market size, or are we talking about population?
In this case, market size. I think the population is also
they don't deviate that much from each other. It's just the size of the area that they're considering. Indianapolis has a much different area that's being encapsulated into that number than Buffalo, or
which is why Charleston, Huntington, West Virginia, the first place I worked out of college, was half the state. How could it be? It's actually one or two spots bigger than Rochester.
Sure, yeah.
But it's half that state.
Right.
It's not just Charleston.
And to his point, when deviating from media market a bit, the Bills are a regional asset. So you are dipping into Rochester. You are dipping into, they hope, Toronto. You're dipping into Erie, Pennsylvania. I think they'd love to dip more into Syracuse and the southern tier than they do.
Of the state.
Right. So you are going outside of your market size, but you're not really reaching into any more Fortune 500 companies and whatnot. You're getting more population than it lists for Buffalo, New York, but you're not getting any many big economic assets.
Yeah, you don't reach over and grab all of a sudden there's one or two Fortune 500 companies that are 60 miles away that you can tap into. It just doesn't happen there.
Right.
Let me grab Judith, who's been waiting on the phone. Go ahead, Judith.
Yes, I'm listening to this as a non-active participant in any sports events. I don't go to those. They don't interest me, but I keep listen to all of these discussions that have to do with spending taxpayer money, how do we allot for it, what do we get back from it, and so on. And I came in with my groceries to tune in later on this program to hear the discussion of how the league spread out the money, Rochester's ticket prices are too low, and so on. And it's at the bottom of the heap participating in the league. And there's that threat then, and if we don't come up with a new stadium, we'll lose our team. And I've heard that before. Now, they did mention the renovation of the stadium some years back, and I don't have that date in my head, but I remember that there was a discussion of that. And I thought, I'm a taxpayer, but I guess it's something we do. But how much of that was a renovation years ago, and do they have the accounting for how much money the city got back? Did we actually put money into the city directly from that, or did we not?
In other words, can we track a return on investment? Is that what you're saying?
That sounds like a very good idea to me as a taxpayer.
All right, Judith.
Because I would rather sing in the Oratorio Society. We don't get city money.
I know there's a lot of people who feel the same way. Judith, thank you for the phone call. A couple of points there. She's asking about the renovations. $130 million was the number I saw for the renovations of the Ralph. Is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that goes back to 2012. Taxpayers covered most or all of it, I think.
All of it.
And when we say taxpayers, let's just clear that up. That is, by and large, Erie County taxpayers.
Okay.
That, you know, the stadium's in Erie County, so taxpayers is a broad term. much of that is going to be borne by Erie County because the stadium is being used there. It's housed there.
Though you have had Cuomo and Schumer occasionally rattling saber saying New York is not going to let the Bills leave or whatever, sort of indicating that even the state could step in. But, okay.
The brunt of that would be borne by Erie County. Okay. Taxpayers.
Okay. It's an important point. $130 million for those renovations. A couple of questions. First of all, how are they? You guys have been there.
There's a bathroom in the press area now. We used to have to walk across a parking lot to an outhouse. So there's plumbing downstairs. I mean, that's an improvement for the press. I can speak.
Plumbing versus no plumbing. It's a good start. Lindsay, what do you think?
It's fine. The stadium's fine. It's not the fanciest, but it's a good place to watch a game. It's great.
Okay, James?
It's easier to get into. There was there was only really one main entrance area, and now there's multiple options in order to get in. So it's less of a bottleneck.
You know what's interesting when you talk about return on investment? It's so hard to track because so much about what dictates how much money a team makes is how good is that team. And the Bills have, for a few years, been riding this wave up, and this year's the first time in a little while I've felt it doing this again and going back down. And so I think they're at a bit of a turning point in terms of...
I love when you do physical gestures on the radio.
Yeah, well, I thought there was like a camera. Who knows? I'm used to that.
But, yes, I know.
But that's what I feel like dictates everything, almost everything, in terms of just how many people actually go to the games, because to get concession money, to get gate sales, you need the people in the seats. And in Buffalo, that's especially important because you don't have the 500 companies.
I don't think most major projects that involve public money... There are big promises about ROI, and I don't think they really even try to give you a good look.
Why would they try? Because
the money's
once
already
they've
been
gotten
spent,
the money,
they've already got, I don't
they're not
think
taking
they try.
The stadium back.
So
they
Judith is making a great point.
She does.
You spent $130 million for renovations. Do you get that money back? We have no idea. It's impossible to really say. There's not a real effort to try that I've ever seen. Most of the time, if you actually dig into these, you know, once in a while you'll see these sort of regional tourism groups, et cetera. And I'm not maligning the efforts or the work, but you see these for every $1 spent, you get X dollars back.
Sure.
If you dig into a lot of the specifics, as people like David K. Johnston have, you get a lot of flim-flam. It's not really all that solid a foundation. So, Judith, the answer is we have no idea if that money has come back here. James, I saw you raising the hand.
I think you could say that about most public community projects, whether it's a festival
or a
concert.
Whether it's a fast ferry.
Yes, fast ferry, absolutely.
Right.
So I think we as a region have to decide whether having first-class facilities for this huge asset, as we said earlier, what would Buffalo be like without it? What would Western New York be like without the Bills? Is worth it in terms of money, and I believe it is.
You want a small preview of what this could look like down the road between taxpayers and the Pegulas? Look at what's going on at the Blue Cross Arena. The city and the Pegulas right now seem to be at a little bit of butting heads a little bit in exactly what to do with the arena, how much money should be spent, and what should it be spent on before the Pegulas kind of come in and do a lot more to it. So they want, and in the renovations, I think this is partly what took care of that. They want a certain amount done before they do all the extra stuff. They want better bathrooms. They want better concessions. They want a cleaner facility. They want, you know, an easier to enter facility, better traffic flow. They want certain things done before they go, okay, now we'll step in and we'll do the rest. Ralph Wilson Stadium took care of that, and I think that's partly, you know, the goodwill of the taxpayers helping get some of those base things done might pay off down the line. But again, exactly what the return on investment is, I'm shrugging.
Here's something that needs to be considered. I think with the renovations, it allowed the fan experience to stay very similar to what it has always been. A new stadium is going to change the fan and the game day experience immensely.
Yep.
They put a downtown stadium in. You know what goes away?
Tailgating.
All the tailgating in the parking lots. All the RVs. It goes away. There's not room for it down there. The other thing is you build a new stadium. Now you're looking for different clients. You're not clients. You're looking for there's a different clientele that's going to games. I mean, you look at a lot of the larger stadiums. It's a much more subdued atmosphere outside of the stadium.
Yeah.
And I think Bills fans would probably that go to the game probably wouldn't like that.
a lot of
it,
them wouldn't.
It might reduce the instances of me reading about Bills fans on Deadspin on Monday mornings.
They would no longer have a section devoted just to Bills fans.
But I think it's a really important point. The fan experience will change greatly with a new stadium because life as Bills fans know it is tailgating, is a raucous atmosphere, we're all out here together. That's going to change with
He's
a new
exactly
stadium.
Right. Yeah.
Some people will appreciate that change.
Some people will, and some people will not like it one bit. I think there's a split, it's going to be a different...
It will likely become more family-friendly, and this is with all due respect. Right now I'm down on those sidelines a lot of times during the week. I know it's not the majority, but there's a bad minority. I would be very hesitant to take a 3-year-old girl or kid to a Bills game. And I'm sure that's similar across the NFL, but I wouldn't do it right now. It's not a friendly atmosphere.
No. I would go to a preseason game with my kids.
A lot of empty seats.
Okay, let's get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back to more of your phone calls. I've got an answer for you, which on the RCA Dome and the Lucas Oil Stadium, which just goes to show you why I should never speak out of memory without actually checking facts, because I was totally wrong. I love being able to say that. So after this short break, come back to your phone calls, and we're talking about the pros and cons of taxpayers investing a lot more money in the Buffalo Bills and in order to keep them here. The lease on the current stadium, the Ralph, is up in 2022. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell recently in our area said it's a need for a new stadium. They're good for football. They're good for the Bills. Taxpayers will have to decide how they feel about that going forward. Toby Motika is here, anchor and reporter from 13 Wham Sports. Chuck Wade, vice president and financial advisor with Brighton Securities. And James Brown, Lindsay Nabosny, longtime Bills fans, weighing in as well. And your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, Rochester Police Chief Michael Simonelli joins us in studio. He'll discuss the tactics used by his department in handling demonstrations downtown last weekend, those demonstrators supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. We'll talk to Chief Simonelli about what happened, his review of what he has seen, and how we move forward productively. That's next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I was saying earlier, I thought what they did in Indianapolis, building what is now Lucas Oil Stadium, which has got the, is it retractable dome or is it permanent, guys?
It's permanent, I believe. Lucas Oil? I'm speaking out of memory.
Either way, there's a roof. There's a roof on that thing. And I said, boy, I thought they got a lot of help on that one. Taxpayers didn't. Nope. The Heartland Institute, which you may know through the Koch brothers, funded largely by Charles Koch and his brother, they have actually studied this going back to 2009. According to the agreement negotiated between city and state officials there in Indianapolis, taxpayers are responsible for funding 87% of that stadium, and that makes Lucas Oil Stadium the most heavily taxpayer-subsidized stadium in our country. And when it comes to the roof itself, the dome, the RCA Dome, is that the previous stadium, by the way?
Yeah.
All right, so the RCA Dome was a previous.
Yes.
That one had cost about $80 million to build. About $47 million of that funding came from bonds, $33 million from a foundation and trust. And the county there said that a food and beverage tax was going to pay off the debt, but then city leaders decided to refinance the dome's bonds several times, even after it no longer existed. Chuck, you want to? What does that mean for the people?
Yeah, so that's another way that counties can fund things, is you do a bond issue, and they say, we're going to issue $250 million worth of bonds, and we're going to take that money and use it to put towards a stadium, and they're going to pay interest on that. And they've refinanced it several times because interest rates have continued to go down. So money gets cheaper, and they'll say, well, we've got these bonds that are cost the county 5%. 5% on $100 million is some real money. So they say, well, you know what? Let's refinance them. We're going to pay them off, and we're going to issue new bonds at 3.5%. The county just reduced their expenditures. And that could be something that will certainly come into play here, is it's cheap money to do a bond issue right now. It could certainly be something the county could, county, New York State, there's bonds out there there's Yankee Stadium bonds. There's bonds out there that have gone to Citi Field, the New York Mets. A lot of the times their stadium is financed through bonds. And right now it's not a bad idea because interest rates are so low and appearing to stay low for the foreseeable future.
It is a retractable roof. So the old dome did not. The new one does. It is indeed retractable.
James Brown was right.
Correct.
Toby and I have both been wrong this
hour.
Need to utilize internet on the phone here.
Let me get Jim in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Jim. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
First of all, there's a sentimental attachment. The Buffalo Bills is the only New York State professional football team. The New York Jets and the New York Giants play in the state of New Jersey. So all that sales tax accrues to the state of New Jersey. It doesn't go to New York State. There's another aspect of it. It would have been nice if you'd had someone from Buffalo, the Buffalo News phone interview or something. But anyway, it's my understanding that Erie County legislature has been subsidizing the Buffalo Bills organization to the tune of $28 million per year for many, many years, and they just upped that to about $31 million. Now, that flows from the top line to the bottom line. And also that the Erie County legislature voted to give all the concessions to the Buffalo Bills. They don't pay sales tax. Now, when Jim Kelly was there with the Bills and they were in their heyday winning all the games, Buffalo was the second most profitable team in the NFL, right behind the New York Giants, I think, because they had the big stadium and 5 or 6 or 7 years season tickets waiting list, that type of thing. So the oligarchs have it both ways. They have their cake and they eat it too, okay? That's what I have to say.
Well, Jim, thank you for the phone call on that. It's an interesting way of putting it. And no doubt about it, when a team is winning, it is a different atmosphere. It's a different economic benefit. My father still lives and works in downtown Cleveland. He said, you just can't believe what the Cleveland Cavaliers and the return of LeBron James has done economically. You know, they estimate $250 million impact the day LeBron came back before they even won a title.
Sure.
But his playing career will be over at some point in the next few years, and the Cavs will probably go back to being not very good, just as after the Bills went to 4 Super Bowls, they've had a run of total futility. You have to weigh all of that in. I mean, you don't get, unless you're, I guess, New England Patriots, or, you know, a few others, the New York Yankees, who are, you know, like the bullies taking the other kids' lunch money, you don't get a run of playoffs for the most part, and you have to factor all of that in.
There are certain cities where sports teams are just an attraction. You know, look at Miami, New York, L.A., it's going to be an attraction. Las Vegas, it'll just be an attraction.
Something to do
right,
there.
Something to do on Sunday
yeah. morning.
And there's certain cities, like Buffalo, like Cleveland, where you hope that this team can be an economic engine. You need something to give a boost sometimes. And it remains to be seen just how big of an engine it can be, but it's so different from market to market because sometimes some cities just are like, how's that team doing? Okay, cool. You know, in terms of the economic impact of it all, New York City doesn't need the Yankees and the Mets to make them a ton of money. They'll take it if they do. They don't need it.
Well, let me go back to Dan and Veronica on the phone in just a second, but I just want to ask someone like Lindsay because you live here now. You're from where?
I'm from Buffalo.
You're from Buffalo.
Yeah.
So you only go to one game a year. The Bills are this, as we've been discussing, this sort of this unique team in that they're a regional team. They need fans like you. You only go to one game a year. When you go, do you also spend time in Buffalo and spend money in Buffalo outside that stadium?
I do. Yeah,
you do.
I go for
okay.
the entire weekend. You know, that's kind of, it does bring people back. And truthfully, a lot of people from other cities do go to Buffalo for games because it's so affordable. I have a friend who's a Jets fan who he actually finds that it's cheaper to fly from New Jersey to Buffalo to go see a game there than it is to go to a game, you know, at the Meadowlands.
She's not kidding.
Yeah. So I think it actually, you know, it does actually bring people into the city to spend money. You know, they're there for the weekend. They're doing more than the game. From the region and beyond.
All right, let me get Dan and Brighton next up. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
What the person was saying about Indianapolis struck a chord with me. The whole problem with upstate New York is you have between 3 and 5 cities trying to be regional centers, and they're too close together. The reason Indianapolis has a large drawing area is Indianapolis is it between Chicago and Cincinnati. I'm from Minneapolis, where Minneapolis is it between Milwaukee and Seattle. Rochester is it between Geneva and Batavia. You just can't match those cities against a real regional center. And that's not to mention the problem that upstate New York should secede from downstate, but I'll hang up now and see what the people have to say.
Thank you, Dan.
Dan made a great point. I lived in Virginia for a couple of years and was amazed. The whole state was Redskins fans. And I thought, like, you're 3 hours away from D.C. and you're a diehard Redskins fan? That's all there was. You go to a lot of these other places. I mean, go to Tennessee. They're Titans fans. That's all there is. You know, it's a big – it's a. The Bills are a regional team. I mean, what is it, 20%? Between 20 and 30% of their fans every Sunday come from Rochester?
Yeah.
What is coming from Southern Ontario and Toronto?
Right.
Another big chunk. And they know that. They've marketed themselves with that. And I have to think that any stadium they would build would probably try to play off of that. It's not just Buffalo. It is a regional team, but that's where the major sports teams are.
All right, Veronica, next up in Rochester. Go ahead, Veronica.
Hi. So I have an interesting perspective. One, because I'm part of a group called Bills Fanatics, and we're a fan group, and we're actually all over the place. And, like, well, actually, I'm in Irondequoit, and my head of it is in Virginia, and one is in Canada. So we have fans from all over the place. And I just think that because of the region that we're in, and I think one of the other callers touched on this, we're not Dallas. We're not a place where, you know, a new stadium is just kind of, I don't know if it makes sense for an area like Western New York. Upgrades, yes, you need some upgrades, but the people want to come to the games. We are the type of fans that actually go to watch the games. And I think I'm not saying that the status of the stadium doesn't matter or the condition that it's in, but the fans are there to watch the game. So what's going on the outside or anything else like that, I don't think matters as much because of the community you're in and because we're actual diehard fans as it does to people who live in maybe more affluent areas, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so, Veronica. Thank you for the phone call, because Chuck mentioned earlier that if there's a new stadium, the experience for the fans is going to change. And Veronica seems to be saying, so what? This is not a region that needs it to change. Whereas
right.
If you go to Miami, fans in Miami are sort of notorious for showing up late. They're hanging out. It's an experience. If you win, you lose. You know, I'm sure there are other cities you could sort of say the same. Do you agree, Chuck, with her point that this is not a city that or a region that actually needs that fan experience?
Yes, but I think what it all comes back to is that the NFL doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They don't care, and that's the problem, is that the NFL doesn't care.
Veronica, they don't care about you, the
Buffalo,
fans.
I think the Pegulas know who they need to cater to. I think they know they need to cater to people like Veronica, to people like you guys in here. They need to cater to fans. But the NFL's like, well, find a way to cater to people with a lot more money.
Fans will watch
on TV. Yep. Fans will buy the merchandise. And you know what? The NFL doesn't care about a $120 ticket in the second section
right.
behind an end zone. They don't care about that.
They want to sell those luxury
suites. They'll sell
suites.
It to somebody. They want the suites. They want the TV deals. That's where they want the naming rights of a stadium. That's where the money gets made.
Yep.
And when the Pegulas were buying it and they're meeting with the NFL owners, I have to believe there were some conversations in terms of, this is great, we're really excited, but hey, new stadium, this is part of it. You're going to need to do that. The NFL doesn't care about anything else.
If I'm a betting man, I'm still betting that they do build a new stadium. I'm still betting that that is what happens.
I
they build
so.
A new one and it goes downtown. Whether that's the right thing to do or not, we'll see in 2030, you know, after some real time has passed. But I definitely, if I had to place a bet, whether it's the right thing or not, I think the pressure from the NFL and the other owners, I think the Pegulas know who they have to please, even though I think they also know who they should really be targeting, and that's the fans.
You know the NFL is a nonprofit organization. It just needs to throw that out there. The NFL is a nonprofit.
All right, hold on. On that note, we have an email from a listener on that exact note here. And let me go ahead and read that now. And it comes from Richard. He says, when the National Football League and the Bills start paying taxes, they are currently considered nonprofit.
Right.
Then we can begin to talk about when the taxpayers contribute to a new stadium for
valid
them.
Point.
It's a
can't
valid
argue
point.
With that. Yeah.
It's a great point. And I go back to the last point. The NFL doesn't care. They've already got the nonprofit stat. I mean, it's ridiculous that it's a nonprofit. Find me an institution that is more for profit than the NFL.
Oh, you know who the NFL is? The NFL is who Bill Murray was chanting about. What was the movie Meatballs, where he's got all the sort of the less popular kids at the camp, and they're trying to win the annual camp competition, and Bill Murray gets him going and a chant. This is, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we win or lose. It doesn't matter because the girls are still going to go out with those guys because they have all the money. That's the NFL.
Meatballs.
They are still
the
going
NFL
for
is
the
meatballs.
Money. The NFL is meatballs. All right, Rick in Bath. Next up. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I just have one word to say, and it's called corporate welfare.
That's my comment for today.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. It's two words, but the point made there, corporate welfare. And yeah, as I said before, read what David K. Johnston has written about this. You generally should not believe that the return on investment promised is coming. It's just a question of if you think it's the right kind of an asset. Or I guess it's a question of how organized can fans be, and can we eventually get to a point where we feel that maybe the owners, maybe if you got 30 owners, how many friends? 30, 31, 32?
32.
32?
Yep.
Why stop at 32? But can they not pool the cost for a stadium? $30 million per team gets you $1 billion.
And that's one of the ways that teams raise money is that they can get money from other owners. They can take a loan from the NFL. But why would they do that when they can leverage and they have all the leverage and the bargaining and the negotiating power?
Chuck is the voice of reason here. They could do it. They won't. And they'll still get what they want and they don't care.
Because someone somewhere is going to be willing to give them the help they want. If the Pegulas and the NFL want the taxpayers to pay for something and Buffalo and Erie County and Western New York takes a stand, someone else won't. Someone else will be like, we got your tax dollars here. Come on down. So it's in all likelihood, it's going to fall on you.
James?
But my question on that statement is, can the league literally force them to move?
No.
No.
The Pegulas own the team. Yeah. And I think that's the one thing we don't know, and it's not fair to speculate on, is what the Pegulas are. They're evaluating it.
Right.
I think you have to give Terry and Kim Pegula the benefit of the doubt sometimes in that look what they've done for the area. I mean, the guy's kind of saved sports in Western New York.
Absolutely.
So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm interested to see how they play it.
And to be clear, that was a hypothetical. That's just like if nobody was willing to pony up. I already said where I think my bet's going. I think the taxpayers are going to pay some money, and they're building a new stadium. But if the taxpayers took a stand and said, no dollars for you, someone else would say that they have plenty of money somewhere to give them.
All right, so I want to ask the two fans in the room. Well, Chuck's really a fan, too. I guess you're not technically a fan, Toby.
No, not technically.
You're a Giants fan.
I'm a Giants fan.
You are a Giants
fan. But, I just lost like 80 followers on Twitter.
I didn't know you had that many.
thanks, Chuck. I cheer for the Bills, number one, because you get kind of wrapped up in it a little bit. But number two, it makes my job more fun when they're good. I'm not a Bills hater. I want them to be good. It makes everything better from my perspective.
And finding stories in week 13
when they're six and six or five and seven
is really tough.
Yeah, I just want to sleep through the rest of the fall when that happens.
Well, James and Lindsay, what are you taking from this? I mean, is in your view, you think a stadium is now imminent? Has anything changed for you, James, as a fan?
I don't think it's imminent at all. Okay. I think now that I'm taking your word that the league cannot force the Pegulas to move, I think that this is a long way off. So imminent is not the word I'd use.
Okay. Lindsay?
I don't think so either. I think, you know, the renovations that were made a few years ago, I know that the league is saying that they're not sufficient, but they really are going to carry us through for a few more years. You know, I think to some degree there is a lot of heart in Buffalo, too, and the region, and people really, really care. And I know the NFL doesn't care about that. But at the same time, I think it means something if it's just with Pegulas or, you know, what people are kind of seeing out, you know, in other cities. I don't think we're going anywhere.
Listener named Joel, who has taught about the history of public financing of sports franchise, says rule number one is always threaten to move.
Absolutely.
That's rule number one.
Yeah.
And he says sports teams and their leagues are money losers without subsidy. In some cases, local businesses do better when professional teams are on strike. And he says, if you look at Miami, L.A., or even Rochester, and you see the horrors of eminent domain, 30-year bondings, concessions, parking, ticket sales, etc., that goes to the owners, not the people who watch, it's a rotten ship. But again, Joel's point, threatening to move is the playbook first move, and the Bills are sort of, the Pegulas are not doing that, but Roger Goodell is sort of doing it for them.
A little bit.
He's hinting at it.
And
sure.
And what he wants them fans to feel is scared enough to say, okay, don't go.
He just stopped short of saying or else. Everything, Roger Goodell basically said everything except or else.
And that's what, you know, the fans and people in the communities need to think is, well, how far do you really want to go?
Right.
Because are you willing to go to the point where you say, well, we don't want taxpayers to pay for this? Are you willing to see the team lose? The NFL will leverage that until the day the stadium gets approved.
But what could the or else be if they can't force them to move?
It's how much the Pegulas are willing to stand against the NFL and the other 31 owners.
And at the end of the day, the Pegulas are the owners. I mean, the Pegulas are representatives of the NFL.
Right. Yep.
They're one of 32 owners in the NFL.
It's very rare to see someone take a stand and say, "No, I will. I don't care what you you can't make me."
Because then, yeah. Terry Pegula is going to say, "Well, I'll pay for it myself."
Right,
and he could.
Yeah,
but that's a third of his net worth.
Yeah, so I think what I'm left with here is if you are a Bills fan who wants the team to stay, you have a lot of good reasons to believe they will, not the least of which is because, as Chuck Wade mentioned, you can't own two professional – the NFL doesn't let you own two different teams in two different leagues in two different cities, but you can own two in the same. So the Pegulas are clear there. If they move the Bills, they have to sell the Sabres under the current rules right now. So that's in the Bills fans' favor. The question simply becomes 2022, lease is up. Something's going to happen, and how heavily involved will the taxpayers be? But Chuck Wade, let us know that the NFL does care about you, and they really want to make sure that you're happy. They
really
want to make sure that you, are as a taxpayer, are protected.
Buy your
gear
now.
Like a true nonprofit.
That's right. Chuck Wade, Brighton Securities, great to have you. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Toby Motika, 13WAM Sports, great to see you, sir.
Thanks, Evan.
James Lindsay, I hope your team stays, but I hope your taxpayer dollars stay in your wallet as long as that's possible. Thanks for being here, James. Lindsay, great talking to you. Short break. Rochester Police Chief Michael Simonelli, next.